Hi, welcome back to the podcast. How's been your week? I've had a fairly busy week or so. I've had work to do and pottering around the house. Work from home fathers are like that, right? There's always something to fix. And I had some networking headaches in the last week or so. Essentially, Joy had complained about network coverage in her room, Wi-Fi network coverage. It wasn't panning out. She kept dropping out of the internet, right? Because her room's at the corner, and she normally would tap the Wi-Fi, be able to get a Wi-Fi, should in theory get a Wi-Fi from Faith's room, which is 2 rooms away. The room layout is such that you have Joy, then Isaac, then Faith, right? And there is a network point in Faith's room. There is a Wi-Fi node in Faith's room that should work, but I think she was at the edge of the coverage. My house is basically covered by mesh Wi-Fi, and those of you who know who do networking will understand what I'm saying. I have a mesh Wi-Fi setup, and the router, normally people have one router and then that router gives Wi-Fi to the whole house, right? But my router cannot reach the entire house, so I need to use mesh to cover the whole house. So it's basically one router and a couple of other points. We call them nodes, right? NODES. So the nodes are spread out throughout the house. I use routers as nodes, basically, and then I have a main router. And all these nodes are connected back to the main router via my home wired network, which I have already placed in, installed it when I moved. I got the electrician to help me install the networking. So I have my network points throughout the house, which is great for stability. When you have a computer plugged directly into an Ethernet port, you get full speed. You don't have to worry about Wi-Fi. But things which are wireless still need Wi-Fi. So I use nodes connected to the main router via wired backhaul, some jargon there. And it works very well. I have a node in Faith's room, I have a node in my master bedroom, and then I have the router in my own studio office, right? So they all provide coverage for the whole house. And for some reason, Joy's room wasn't getting enough coverage. And I did go out and buy a simpler router to act as another node to put in her room. I plugged that in, and that router didn't really behave well. I wasn't very happy with the coverage. It affected my, oh, my mic just went off. It affected my other smart home devices, and I was very annoyed. So I went back to the store. I spoke to the salesperson there. He's a very helpful guy. And I bought another model. I exchanged it, and then I got this other one, which is a newer model. Cost a bit more. I topped up after I got the exchange done. And came home. I placed one node in Joy's room. I placed another node in Isaac's room. So basically, now there is Wi-Fi in each of their rooms from their own nodes. And everything settled down after that. I was so happy. Like, oh, stable. I had no more dropouts from my home smart home devices. I had everybody was using the internet without any trouble. Joy certainly didn't complain. So I got that fixed. Every time I do these things, I have to be very careful because I can hurt myself. I did it, I think, a week and a half ago. I kind of hurt my back. Because you are running cables and stretching yourself in weird ways, and then you can accidentally hurt yourself. So I was quite careful this time. And I was just very happy things were working. I hide the cables well. I hid the cables well. Put my own trunking, everything. Because I don't like to see cables sticking out as far as possible. And yeah, they came home. It's like magic, right? You come home, everything works. So now I'm monitoring the house and it looks good. I also started renaming some of the lights in the house because I just couldn't get them to respond. I realized that there's a bit of trial and error. Like if you use certain terms you know, Siri doesn't understand what you're asking for. So I managed to finally figure out how to name certain things so that I could get them to turn on and turn off without any mistake. And here's the funny thing, I discovered that my HomePod mini speaker in my office, which only I use, kept thinking I was my son. It's bizarre. And I know our voices sound alike, but it was very annoying because I wanted it to know it was me, because sometimes when you ask for like personal information, like, you know, your next meeting, you want the speaker to Siri to know how to reply to you. And you don't, if it thinks you are somebody else, then it gets a little confusing, right? So now I think the speaker has finally figured out it's me. Because there's no way to toggle it. There's no way to say only like me allowed to use this speaker or something like that. That's not the way it works. So now Siri understands me. Hey Siri, who am I?
You're Tofu.
You see, it thinks I'm my son. Yeah, that's his nickname. So, I don't know. Anyway, not too bad still. When I asked for my calendar, my schedule for the day, if it doesn't know who it is, it was, you know, Siri, she will still ask who is this and then read out my schedule for the day. Something like, hey Siri, what's my schedule for the day?
Who is speaking?
This is Man.
Today, you have sound card auditions at 6:30 p.m.
Okay. So that audition calendar thing is not me. It's just, I don't know why it shows up on my calendar. Oh, I know why. Because my son added it to let us know that he's not coming here for dinner. So that's my little headache of the week. The speaker, the HomePod speaker not recognizing my voice and keeps thinking it's my son. So, but it doesn't affect my scheduling, but it's just kind of weird that it keeps thinking that sometimes it gets it right. Sometimes it knows it's me. But lately it's been thinking that this is my son. And there are only two males in the house, right? So I can understand it messing up, because they are the other users of the system, they don't have this problem. But yeah, my victory this week was sorting out the network, the flaky network last week. This whole week, and figuring it out and getting the right gear to stabilize the system. And also renaming my home stuff. It's an ongoing thing. It's always like small little tweaks you make throughout the week, the months of using a smart home to finally like nail it. And then you start adding things like automations and all that. So now in the morning, you know, curtains open at a certain time. I love doing that. The speakers have been awesome. Sometimes, because I have so many of the speakers now, one in every room, the HomePods, and sometimes they don't talk to each other properly. They lose touch with each other or something. So I just reset them. But by and large, they've been quite solid. And just being able to turn on the lights or the fans or whatever thing you want to turn on in the room by just telling the room speaker. The speaker knows it's you. You know, it will pick up the nearest voice. The speaker will, if you have more than one speaker lying around, the nearest speaker that can hear your voice loudest will know that you are in that room and then act accordingly. So like if I tell Siri turn on a fan, it will not turn on all the fans. It will turn on the fan of the room I'm in, right? So that's nice. Yeah, me and my home automation, smart home obsession. It's fun little project for me. The family's gotten more and more used to it. I think almost they might find it difficult to go elsewhere and not have the ability to control the environment without a smart home now. If I go to a hotel now, I'll probably get annoyed. I can't control it in my voice, right? This is a smart home shenanigans. Yeah, it feels like sometimes, and my wife said it the other day. She said it feels so futuristic, and I said, yeah, right, like macam Star Trek, right? The only thing missing is being able to tell the machine, some machine, to give you Earl Grey tea, you know, just like Captain Jean-Luc Picard. That's missing. But still, it's just so amazing that we live in an age of automation. It's also very scary when you think about it. Like, AI seems to be catching up in such a scary way that people are going to lose their jobs. You know, I tell my kids this all the time. Make sure you widen your skill sets. Look for things that, you know, to learn that will give you a stronger foundation for future jobs, because many of the jobs that we know of will disappear, right? And more so than it used to be. I mean, I'm doing a job that my parents never thought they would. No, they didn't exist during my parents' time. And my children, no doubt, will live in a world where there are many jobs that will be replaced by AI and by computers. And there'll be new jobs that they need to be able to adapt to. Yeah, it is a very exciting and then at the same time, scary time, right? What else have I been doing? I have been doing some work, and that's ramping up. My travel schedule has kind of eased up, so I find it very relaxing. I used to be traveling every month, but that was pre-COVID. Now I'm just like, I don't mind, you know. I think it's time. There's a time and a place. But I'm also wary of taking care of my mental state. Because, like, tell you a funny story. I was at the bank and I had to deposit a check. I mean, Yahoo uses a check anymore, but I still do. And I think my mind was distracted. I was thinking of something, and probably the home stuff that I was working on, and I was thinking of work, and I was, you know, my brain was like doing 3-4 things at once. And as I approached the branch wanting to drop off my check, I had two checks in my hand. I took one check and I put it into the slot, and guess what? Yeah, that was not the check deposit slot. It was dustbin slot. You know, the one where you put the receipts. And I put it in, and I suddenly realized, oh my God. I stopped myself from putting the second check in. And I went, this is my worst nightmare. I've never done this before, but I've always been afraid of doing it. And I finally put a check into the slot, the wrong slot, the dustbin slot. So I happened to be at a branch where there were staff standing around. It's one of those special lobbies where they have, it's not a proper full bank, but they have staff there, and it's very interesting. And I told the lady, I said, look, I put a check in there. I'm so sorry. Can you help me? And the dustbin, of course, has a lock, right, a key to open it. And at first she said, don't worry, we will, when the cleaner comes, I will tell the cleaner to take out the check for you and put it into the check slot. And that was very kind. But then the other staff was even more proactive. She said, let me go and see whether the cleaner is here already. So she went to the back room. She came back with a key. She said, I can open it for you. So she opened the slot, the dustbin door. And there you are, you know, here's your check. And I said, thank you so much. And I put both the checks into the correct slot. That is a terrible mistake to make. Unfortunately, it wasn't like in the middle of the night where there's zero you can do about it, right? What can you do? Who are you going to tell? If you went, I normally do these things like very late at night when there's nobody. So that day happened to be like a daytime scenario, and there was staff like standing around and helpful staff too. So It was a relief, like, but at the same time, was when I first dropped that check into the slot, I said, no, Nightmare of nightmares. It's money, you know, right? So yeah, don't do that. Pay attention when you are doing things like this. I think I find myself having to focus when I do certain things. First of all, I need to focus when I write something like a check. Because, you know, you don't write very often, right? And nowadays, we type everything. When I'm writing, I have to consciously pay attention, like really focus. Because one wrong stroke, and then I got to throw away the check. And checks are expensive now. When I'm writing stuff, I find I have to focus. I also advise my kids not to look at their phones when they're walking, right? Especially when you're crossing the road, whatever. That's kind of common sense, but a lot of people don't do this. They are looking at their phones when they're crossing the road. Or even walking along the pavement, they're looking at their phones. Now, pavement's still not so bad, no. But especially in near places like traffic lights, I always tell the children, if you are not paying attention, you are vulnerable to anybody making a mistake at the junction, right? Singapore is a very busy place. I mean, we're not talking about countryside, right? Like Singapore, traffic everywhere. And then at the traffic junction, don't stand too near, you know, the edge, and don't look at your phone only. Look up. Because if somebody makes a mistake and has an accident, crashes into that part of the traffic junction where you are at, you have no time to respond. So I always tell them, please pay attention. So these are the things I think we need to work on. Just a sensible thing to do. We tend to get lost in our phone use. We tend to get lost in our thoughts. And sometimes at certain places, we should be more alert than usual. Yeah, near traffic. Crossing the roads for sure, right? So yeah, I find myself having to focus. I tell myself, please focus on things that you want to do. Don't daydream. Don't think of other stuff when you're doing certain things. Then you will make stupid mistakes like drop off a check into the dustbin slot of the bank. Still can't get over it. Okay, talk to you guys tomorrow.